Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick. On today's show, we're talking about Nelson Peltz's cannabis play, potential spinoffs in Kraft Heinz, a couple of downgrades to Roku, and Boeing hanging around a key technical level. Our guest will be Sean Udall. He will join the show at 8:35. He is the CIO of Quantum Trading Strategies at the Tech. He's a tech stock strategist is what he is, or what we call him at least. Again, that'll be at 8:35. Joel, quick word here on the overnight markets. What's happening?
We had a little dip, but I caught a bid at Tuesday's close, 89 even that was, went to 88 and a quarter. We are now busting through a double top. We had it 03 and a quarter. So taking out resistance, one target on the upside could be 10 and a quarter. That's been the high close in the move. But your seven-day high, your high close in the move, or the high of the move, bases the June contract. That comes in at 28 and a quarter, 0.75. Crude in the green by 60 cents here to 57.47, knocking on the door. Big resistance up in the upper 57 handle. We'll see if crude can get another leg higher. Gold clears 1,300, up 10 bucks at 1,308.10. And silver up 11.7 cents at 15.53. It looks like we have an everything rally. I'm going to bring Dennis in here this morning. And Dennis, I have a small confession to make.
Uh-oh. I'm scared.
Your parents have been paying me to do the show with you.
Why? Why would they do that?
I knew that was coming.
Because they just, you know, you're a good kid growing up and stuff, and you didn't have a lot of friends, and they thought I was really.
So they've been paying you to be my friend? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty good parents.
Did you see the news from yesterday, Dennis?
Oh, what was the news?
The world's Spencer filament.
What? You have me so lost.
Okay. Relax. I'll fill you in. The FBI came out and said they uncovered a massive scandal in which the rich and famous – rich and or famous people were bribing American universities to let their kids into the school.
Like, well, that doesn't surprise me.
like Yale and USC and basically just this is Schadenfreude in its like truest form. I mean, it really is. It's just such an absurd thing. But
absurd thing that a parent would bribe a school to let their kid in.
Yeah.
Well, private school also having kids take their admissions tests for them. And some big celebrities, what, Felicity Huffman? And what's the symbol on that stock where the guy was CEO? Is that it got downgraded today, right? What was Hercules Capital? Did you see that?
No. That's got all kinds of problems.
I didn't. Yeah. I didn't see that. No.
Yeah.
Hercules
Capital got downgraded. On it as well. What kind of message it sends to your kids? But perfect timing here. I just wanted to mention, does anybody in either of our chats here have young kids? I mean, I know Dennis, Spencer's a younger one. Spencer, I don't think you have any kids, but
I don't think I do either.
In the Google YouTube chat, let me know if you guys have any youngsters. Let's say from the third to the sixth grade, because my buddy Jeremy Newsom and I over at Real Life Trading, next week, this is going to be from 6:30 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. We're going to do a little presentation that I did for my daughter Emily when she was in the sixth grade, and it's called Wall Street and Math and Magic. So it's basically going to go over Wall Street for young kids. And since it seems to be harder and harder to get into to colleges and stuff, maybe it's a good time to start teaching your kids about the market.
How to make money as a trader.
Yeah. Well, just basically, we won't go that. That won't be until the second paid session. This is just going to be a free session. And it's really funny because I was going over the presentation, which actually is like 12 years old now, and was talking about investing in computer companies as part of a mutual fund. And the computer companies were Apple, Yahoo, and AOL. So that's how old the presentation is. But if you got any youngsters, second grade might be a little young. It might be a little too elementary for seventh graders. I don't know how much they teach about the stock market in schools now, but it's a great presentation that Jeremy and I are working on. So if anybody's got any youngsters, I put the link in the pre-market prep chat. I'll put it in the YouTube chat as well, but love working with young kids. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I just wanted to give a plug for that. And so let's move on here. Spencer, where should we start with the news?
Yeah, before we go there, Dennis, I don't know what your P&L is this year, but you need to start, whatever it is, you need to start improving, because I hear the bribes from McGill are really expensive.
Yeah.
So
one of the bribes there.
I don't know what the going rate is, but it's high.
So you're telling me it's gonna cost me a lot of money to get my kid in the university.
It's gonna cost you a lot of money, and you got two now, so it's gonna cost you even more. Let's start with cannabis this morning. Aurora Cannabis ACB getting a big vote of confidence from Nelson Belts. He has come on. Did I say Belts or Pelts? I don't know what I said.
I don't know what you said.
Pelts.
We'll go with both.
Pelts has come on as a strategic advisor to the company and will work with them to explore partnerships and just generally advise the company on their business. And he was given some options as well. Big vote of confidence from a big name investor.
That's a good start for my university bribe. And Spencer, when you gave me this news here this morning, because I was a little sleepy, I didn't even notice this until you told me at 7:45. I was like, you told me the news and stock is up 8%. I was like, I don't think that's enough. I guess I was right because stock's up 13 now. So anyways, it continues here. It's the only pot stock that I've owned. I've owned it for the better part of 3 months now. And I don't know where I bought it at like 8 Canadian. So now you start thinking, okay, well, it's 9 US. That's got to be good with the exchange rate. So anyways, it's been a good one for me. I'm sticking with that. This was one of, obviously, Alan Brockstein's picks as well, and that's what made me stay with it. I always like listening to Alan because I don't think anybody in the sector knows more than our own Alan Brockstein.
The volume too here. I mean, if you want to, say, oh, this is not a real move, almost 5 million shares have traded in the pre-markets. Yeah, that's huge. That's a big move. What did we do?
The confidence from a huge investor.
Exactly. What did we do? Did he get stock though, Spencer, or does he get some options now? Dennis asked if he was already in it. Is he already in it, or is he just getting some options in the company?
I don't know if he was already in it or not.
All right, you just kissed $9 here in the pre-market trading, only 14 cents away from it. 905 is your pre-market high. Not much on the daily charts. I'm looking, blowing away your 810 high, so it's definitely be a gap and go here in Aurora Cannabis. Let's see here. I have nothing at 9 for you except for maybe one daily high. So you can look at that as a level. No, I got nothing there. It's going to $10. If I have nothing at 9, I can't find anything at 9. I'm looking.
We don't know anything, so it's an opinion here, but
I'm joking.
I don't think you're Joe. I think it could go to not $10 today here, but I think this thing can see double digits again. I mean, I'm sticking with it here. I'm not even thinking about selling at a 9. It is. It's more wide open here. So, Joel, I like your price target.
All right. Should we just go over some of these other pot stocks real quick? Do a pot stock rundown?
Oh, it's been a while since we did. Let's fly through them. So, ACB is looking pretty good. Obviously, the breakout here today. Afria, we know it's kind of just been consolidation station here for a while. So, I don't know what to say. What do you think of the Afria chart?
It's quiet.
You could argue a little cup and handle going on.
Total
cup all patterny. Big pattern traders, but I can see a cup and handle pretty clearly, even with my glaucoma eyes there.
Area of interest in this one has to be 1050. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 highs. So that's your I'll just give you one level there, 1050 on the upside.
Let's jump over to the other ones that have been moving. CGC. You know what? Consolidation station for CGC. There's a flag for you. Look at the patterns.
Listen to you.
Man, look at these patterns. We're doing a pattern course right now, checking out patterns. We talk about patterns. If you're a first-time listener, we talk about patterns almost zero on the show, but we're talking about them this morning. There's another pattern.
Did you get up early and read your Edwards and McGee book?
I got
or
up
something?
Late today, so maybe first I'm just
say,
like,
Let's see for this one. CGC, yep, consolidation, a little bump up over the last 3 days, getting
up
a
over
boost.
50, we're off to the races.
Yeah. For this one, my two-star resistance, 48.90. That's a little bit of ways away. That's a $1.40 away. That's the next daily resistance level. If, in fact, you can take out yesterday's high at 47.98. So which the cronster? Let's take a look at that one.
Cronster. Whoa, and it looks, well, obviously it's had the best year of them all. But again, same thing. A little bit of consolidation station here. So, and we're trading up here in the pre-market. I don't know. Bulls are in complete control as long as it's above that low of 1950.
Yeah, I'd say, oh boy. Let's see, over 22 here. Two out of the last 3 days. You stopped in the lower 22 handle, 2204, 2217. So there's some potential resistance in Cron. We talked about ACB. What about NBEV? Do you put NBEV in there, Dennis? I know you.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of its own thing, but I'd say it trades with them. So yeah, 3 days up, $5 support. The old $5 trick. And you know what? $5 is a significant number for a lot of stocks because in a lot of brokerages, it's $5 where security becomes marginable. So when they start falling under $5, sometimes you can have people, you know, in trouble because they can't use margin anymore on it. I don't know if that applies to all brokers, but a lot of them have the old $5 rule. Remember that $5 rule, Joel?
Yep.
Over $5, it's marginable. I'm not sure if that applies to all brokers here or not. They changed the rules so much over us over the 20 years and that we've been trading, or 50 years if you're Joel. But $5 is always marginable. It's always a big number.
Okay. All right. So, and
by the way, then, also,
what about the
MJ, the MJ ETF is, I believe, the top performing ETF all year.
This year?
Yeah.
I believe it. They've had a big run, 24 to 36. That's an ETF that's up 50%. That is probably one of the top performing ETFs.
Spencer, when did you give that to everyone as a buy?
Yeah, that's Spencer's pick right there.
I didn't give it as a buy. I said I would buy that before I bought any cannabis stock.
Do you own any of that?
No.
You've liked it forever, though.
I know.
Is that the worst? When you like a stock and you don't buy it and you watch it go up forever?
I know.
I mean, I do that so much.
I know.
And I'm so disappointed in myself so many times that, I really like this. I'm going to buy some of that. And then I just don't, for whatever reason, you forget it or whatever. And then it goes up a little bit. You're like, well, it'll pull back. I'll buy the pullback. And you don't get the pullback. You watch it go up and up and up and up and up. And you're like, that was a bad one to miss. There's a big opportunity cost
well,
there.
Well, in my case, it's more like in the end of the year, I was like, man, I'm really smart, man. I didn't buy it. That was a great move on my part. It's down to
– I only noticed the ones I didn't buy.
It's down from 44 to 24.
The ones I buy that go up, though. That's selective perception for you.
Yeah,
down and
I only noticed the ones I didn't buy that go down.
The real laggard here, Tilray. Ah, boy, oh boy, that one just can't get off the mat. That little
it looks better right now, though.
It does.
It does look better right now. I like that little reversal that it held the low. So if we go back to December, we held the 64.06. We get down there and kissed it 3 days ago at 64.42, and now it starts to get up above 70 again. I like it better. I think there's room to 80 on Tilray, but you're right. If you're buying this one, it has been the laggard of the sector.
Yeah, actually, I just noticed the monthly low from December, 64.06. You snuck down there in this month, too. If you were waiting for 64.06, you were turned away. Buyers stepped up at 64.45. So that covers all the pod stocks, right? In the pod sector.
That's about the majority of them, yeah.
Yeah.
There's HEXO, they're talking on the chat. There's a lot of smaller ones there, too. That one's actually, that one don't look bad either. HEXO held the lows 3 days ago, too. And it's starting to look a little bit interesting as well. All these pod stocks are starting to look a little more interesting, especially with the Aurora move here today. Maybe it's going to be pot stock day.
All right, we'll take a look at that. Before we move on with our regularly scheduled programming, let's just talk Boeing here a little bit, Dennis. And didn't take out the low from yesterday, or from, excuse me, from Tuesday. So there's your, yeah, your big level, 365.55. That was a gap fill. Kind of what we talked about yesterday. They took it down yesterday, but you still found buyers, and you found some buyers ahead of that low 368. Dennis, talk about it technically and fundamentally, and then I can give my take.
I mean, there's just the wild card. If we end up getting another crash, like if there, you know, we hope that doesn't happen, but if there was ever another plane crash or another incident, this thing would really get hit then. So you can't have, you know, if you're long, that's the wild card. And then there's the wild card is, you know, what's going to happen with the regulators here? Are they going to look, were they at fault? Was the plane at fault for that recent crash? They come out with news that's at fault, the thing could fall another 15% a day. If they come out they weren't at fault, the thing could just rally 10% a day. So you got a headline that's going to come out eventually because they got the little black box. And eventually they will do some analysis. I don't know how long that analysis takes. It probably doesn't, it's probably not going to come out for a bit. I don't think they come out in a day with that analysis, but they could come out fairly quickly if they're at fault because they can't risk that, you know, they found a reason that they could be at fault and they're risking, you know, obviously the planes. So, you know, and other people flying with these planes. So that's the wild card. So technicals take a complete backseat when you have a headline potential like that. So just be careful. Anything overnight can have a wild move. If we're just speaking pure technically and ignoring all of that, which is impossible, but if you were, the 365 low, that's what it needs to hold. It starts taking 365 out and starts to really get slippery slope. But it's good that I held it yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's obviously not good that it gave back all the gain from the previous day or you know, because it had obviously popped back up to over 400 and then it started to leak again. I thought it might, you know, pop back over 400. It did not. But there's so many countries that are not flying these now. Obviously, they are still in the U.S., but I mean, if they all of a sudden, you know, the Southwest comes out and says, we're not flying these anymore, the thing could get hit. So, and LUV would get hit as well. So it's a wild card. So that's why I'm probably not trading. I'm probably even careful with it overnight just because there's massive headline risk here.
And tell me whether or not you agree with this analysis. And we've talked about this before. You know, when bad news surrounds the stock, you know, whatever it is, and I'll just use CMG for an example, right? I mean, it had all those problems. It had all that negative news, which was people getting sick as opposed to people dying. How long did it take for CMG? You know, I mean, it's a different circumstance, changing
to get out
food.
Of it.
Yeah.
To get back out of favor. It was a long time.
It was a long time. And depending on, you know, what the results are. And another thing, and I think someone in the chat made this point, let's say it was a pilot error. Okay, so is Boeing, you know, who sells, you know, to the airlines, sells the planes, and they're going to come out and blame the pilot? I mean, so there's a lot of tricky circumstances here. Also, a lot of people still sitting on huge profits, right? The stock has had one hell of a run. So if you think you're getting it on the cheap at 373, there's institutions that are probably in this from under $100 or even lower. People have been in this for a long time, and they're like, hey, you know what, man, I missed 440, I missed 400, but you know what, 350 doesn't sound bad to me. So there's a lot of different circumstances, you know, let's just
hope. It's still a hell of a run even from the beginning. It started the year down at 320. So, I mean, you're still people sitting on profits here. So it's not surprising it's got hit this hard. It's all about whether they're at fault or not. I mean, if they're at fault, this stock is going to get hit, and it's going to get hit hard again. If they're not at fault, then I think you're going to see this thing pop back up over 400 again on that news. So are they at fault or not? That's what we got to find out. It's hard to be in this.
Yeah,
it's hard to just flat out say I'm going to buy the stock here because I think our 365 is going to hold. I mean, it's just so are they at fault or not? We got to find that out. We saw what happened, and obviously we're not in a PCG case because Boeing, you know, is going to fix whatever mistake it is or whatever caused it. They will fix that. I mean, this is like, somebody was saying on Fast Money, and I don't know if that's true or not, but they were saying these planes are 30% of the revenue. So this is huge. It's got to, if this plane is at fault, the stock will get hit. So that's what we got to find out. Are they at fault or not? And we don't know that. So it's hard to really make a call here on a pre-market prep because we don't have that information. So I'm out. I'm just going to sit and watch it happen.
Yeah, and if you looked at and if you're trying to trade it through the options market, holy cannoli, man. Oh, my God. The premiums are just so jacked up.
What is a cannoli? Before. Do you know what a cannoli is besides? Is it just a made-up word that rhymes with holy?
Wait.
Stop, or is stop. A cannoli something?
Stop. They must not have them in Canada.
I always used holy moly, but what's holy cannoli?
Wait, you don't know what that is for real?
No.
Oh, my God. It's like an Italian dessert.
Cannoli?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not Italian, so I know I didn't know what that was. So holy cannoli. Maybe I'm going to start using that one. Holy cannoli instead of holy moly. But
maybe I'm Brent, the only one to
Brent use. Brent's making fun of me. He's yelling, Brent. Dennis didn't know what cannoli was. He's yelling that background.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
They don't carry those in Tim Hortons?
It's a pay. Everybody's not laughing at me, Rob.
Yeah, yeah, I
know. No, I guess I got to get out more. I got to leave my house more because I didn't know what a cannoli was. I've heard of it. I didn't know what it was. So I'll have to go, you know, put it on my bucket list to go eat a cannoli at a good Italian restaurant. And then I can start using the expression. I'll go, holy cannoli. That was good.
But you got to go, holy a cannoli.
Holy a cannoli.
Yeah, put a little Canadian.
You use the A out. Wrong. You're half Canadian.
A, you know how a holy cannoli. Where do you put the A there? You put it first? All right.
Vera cannoli shooting scene. I'll have to watch that, Buzz T.
All right, Vera Bradley.
I learned something. I always learn something from Joel. That's why I like hanging out with Joel. You learn something.
You learn something
holy
every day. Well, hey, look at your Vera life. Bradley.
I'll probably use that on the show forever now. Holy cannoli.
Holy cannoli, Vera Bradley.
Dennis, alert, trade alert. You're Vera Bradley.
Yeah, I know. I already sold it. I sold it too soon.
Well, VRA was out at, I guess, just
8 o'clock.
Just around.
I was trading at 8:02. That's why I was silent in the background.
Okay. So, yeah.
VRA. Anyways, I had this overnight. I forgot to sell it last night. There was a bid last night. I was like, I got to sell that because I don't want to forget about it and take it through the report. I looked at it this morning. I was like, oh, I forgot to sell it. It worked out. So sometimes they work out. Anyways, I sold a 12 in the 1240s here just a little while ago. So it ended up working out. It's 13 now. So again, I guess I sold too soon, but it looked like it was slowing down. I had the initial pause there for a bit. That was good enough for me. I was like, thank you for the 11% that I shouldn't have got because I wasn't supposed to hold this overnight. So it's nice when your mistakes make you money.
33-cent EPS versus a 24-cent estimate.
That's a good report.
Yeah, sales of $118 versus $116 million. They guided strong also. The fiscal year EPS guidance, a range of 64 to 74 cents versus a 60-cent estimate. So that's a beat. And their sales guidance also higher, a range of 420 to 440 million versus 405 million. So they beat on the fiscal year sales guidance and EPS guidance, and they beat on the quarter EPS and sales.
Could have given me these numbers off the hop, and maybe I would have held it more. Anyways, I sold a little bit too soon. It's $12.83 offer here, so we'll see what happens. Seems like there's always a retail that goes up 20%. I kind of have that in the back of my mind, so I should have held it, but I did not. So I'm out, VRA.
All right, you just spiked to $13 real quick. Actually, I see that as the last print. Not sure. You said it's offered at $12.83. Going back to November, folks, I see a high at $13.12 and $13.32. So let's see what some work to do at 13. I wouldn't get real carried away. We'll see what happens at the 13.20 area. If you're buying this on a pullback here, I'm absolutely terrible on telling you where to buy stocks after they gap up. 11.28 was yesterday's high. Maybe I'll just have to look at some pre-market action and get a level. But
be careful fading it. I've sold my long, but selling it short, there's nothing in here. So, We do see retailers often go up 20% or more. So it would not surprise me if this goes over 13. I probably should have held on to it.
Okay.
I have seller's remorse on this already. So I'll tell you that.
All right.
Seller's remorse. There's a new term for you.
Spinner just is popping in. Tilray hires a former Goldman Sachs guy. Tilray. Can't confirm deny this.
Oh, yeah, we got that. Their chief corporate development officer is, I guess, a former Goldman managing director. Not sure that'll impact stock at all, but it is a headline nonetheless.
It's impacting it, I think. Stock's trading up 3% here, so it doesn't hurt. I think there's room to 80 on this one. So if I was long, I'd be holding on. But again, I'm just not a fan of Torrey.
A couple stopping points along the way to 80, 4-day high, 76.13. Pair of highs at 78.5. And actually, they're showing the Hercules Capital founder and CEO. He was the one that was in, I think he already resigned. HTG. I don't know if I gave you that stock, HTGC.
That was the big mover from yesterday.
Yeah.
The downgrades here today. What did this guy do?
He basically paid for his kids to get in college.
Oh, that was the one that paid for the kids to get in
college. Yeah. Yep. We'll have a negative effect on your stock price.
It's so pretty, I guess they're saying if you're not ethical with your kids, you're probably not ethical with your company, maybe. Is that why the stock gets hit on that?
I think Algo's just picking up, right? You think Algo's give a damn about that? They just say, oh,
they negative. Give a damn about everything.
Yeah. Well, they
headlines. Well, it got hit hard. I mean, we went from 1340 down under $12. We're trading down here. We're holding 12 and a quarter. So he stepped down already?
Yes.
Wow. Anyways, that's an interesting story. Okay. Jumping back over to the earnings parade. Did we get the bear shop's earnings? It's trading down. I'm talking Build-A-Bear.
We got the
BBW.
We got the bear shop earnings. You want them, BBW?
Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
How did you build enough bears?
Well, adjusted EPS for the quarter was a 5-cent loss. I don't know how comparable that is to the 35-cent gain estimate. Sales of 101.
That's bad.
Well, it might not be comparable. I'm not sure. Sales
of
101.
Bad anyways.
Okay, fine. Sales of 101 versus $99 million, so a slight sales.
People paid $99 million to stuff teddy bears.
No, they paid $101 million.
$101 million to stuff teddy bears.
Yeah,
pretty good. But again, I still think the trend is not your friend here. Like I said yesterday on the show, once you stuff a bear once, you're probably never doing it again with your kids. So everybody's got to try it once, right? I think this is eventually a lot lower than $5. So not a fan of Build-A-Bear, no matter what the earnings is.
You know what we should do, Dennis, is we should mount a takeover in this company. And I'm just joking, people. I'm just joking here.
Why? What do you want to stuff?
No. Bulls. Build-A-Bull workshop.
Yeah, it's like a stock market thing. You can, teach your kids about the stock market.
Yes!
Listen to Joel's course, and then you can take your kids through the Build-A-Bull workshop, and they'll stuff the bull. We'll even stuff bears if they feel like they're being bearish. So you can stuff a bull or stuff a bear. It's your kids' workshop. We've got a new business model here, Spencer. So we're giving our notice here. We're going to build. We're going to go stuff bulls and stuff bears.
And then as a reward, they get cannolis.
Right. And then they say at the end, holy cannoli. Wow, we are on horrible tangents here today.
I know. Bring us in, Spencer.
This might be the worst tangent you've ever been on.
Okay.
Let's take it away. Joel, do you want to do a technical BBW? Just say $5. I mean, same thing. Securities become marginal. Below $5, this thing's going to get ugly. I don't know if it's going there today. I think it's eventually going there, and I think it's eventually going to be ugly. Sorry for you BBW longs, but I'm not a fan.
Daily, I'd say in the lower fives. Yesterday's low 547. We haven't taken that out. But if you look, I mean, this thing's not a huge mover. I mean, it's just, I'm going back all the way February lows, just above and below five. So there's some potential support in Build-A-Bear.
Some okay news, I guess, relatively speaking, for Kraft Heinz yesterday. A report from CNBC that they are considering selling, probably as they should, their cottage cheese business, which could fetch as much as $400 million. They apparently need the cash, so why not sell some assets?
Yeah, okay, so I saw this headline break. I actually day traded. I was able to buy it at 32.04, I think I paid. Just got a little piece of the action. It went up to 32.35, and I was like, that's pretty good. I thought it might just get a pop just on the initial headline. Then I went to go over 32.50, and I was like, I should short this because there's no way this is worth 50 cents. Anyways, it came back in. It started to come back down, 32.40, 32.35. I started to get some short at 32.35. Then I started to get a little more short, 32.25. I'm still short it right now overnight because I think I'm going to be able to cover it close to flat. But this is just desperation a little bit here, in my opinion, from KHC. So I'm not a fan. So I'm not coming here being a KHC
fan.
Sorry, Joel, talking against your book a little bit here, but it just reeks of desperation to me. So, and it's $400 million. Like, the potential sale for this $400 million on a stock with a market cap. This is, you know, a lesson. You know, you want to do a little bit of fundamental analysis here in your trading if you want to add a little bit to it. The easiest thing to do is when you get takeovers or when you get stuff, people, companies selling something, look what the market cap is and look what the sale price is. And if it's just a fraction, and I mean a very small fraction of what the overall market cap is, and in this case, the market cap on KHC is $39 billion. They're going to sell something for $400 million, and they're going to pop that thing up 1.5% on it. They're popping it too much. So that's just math. I mean, even if they sold that for $400 million, you're going to give it an extra 24 million shares there's way more than that. There's 1.2 billion shares outstanding. You're going to pop that thing up last night. Somebody's buying it up over 600 million because they might sell something worth 400 million. That math doesn't add up. That equals short, in my opinion.
Okay.
Now, at this price, it's probably fair value. So I'm going to cover it here somewhere at the open, you know, probably in this vicinity. But a 32.50 last night, it's just overpriced.
It's a much smaller part of my portfolio over the last couple of days. But you found a buyer.
Hold on to that one.
Hopefully, I'll have not buying anymore. Hopefully, I'll have some huge gains at the end of the year, and I can, offset it with that.
I got lucky to get out of that one.
I stuck out on that 10% pop.
And I never got back in, and I kind of liked it going down. So here's one that I was actually, I was wrong, obviously, because I kind of liked it as it was coming down, but I never got back in. Probably because, and we said it a couple times, I'm like, I want to wait till it stops going down. And it really never did in December. And then when January, everything popped, it kind of rallied a little bit in there. And then obviously the bad news. And I mean, we really haven't had much of a rally since. So as it sits down here at the lows for longer and longer, it actually makes me think this is going under 30 bucks. So maybe I should turn this, short-term short in, day trade into a short-term investment on the short side of Kraft Heinz. On the short side.
Gets through 3160. There's your level. We've had several lows. Last four lows, 3160 to 3186. Another low at 3182. So there's your support. We'll see if they get down there today. Doesn't look like we're moving much off the PPI or the durable goods orders, up 4% versus estimate down 6%. Market was rallying ahead of that. Dennis, 832, any notable imbalances this morning?
I would say, if I'm just looking here quickly, 182,000 to sell in General Electric. It snuck its head above 10. I was saying if this got above 10, I would love to short it. I wish I would have did it, but I didn't look at it, and it was up there only for about 20 minutes. So it wasn't up there for very long. I guess it was up a little over more than that. But, you know, that spike up to 10.14 did not last long. It's coming right back down. I know there's a lot of people who are talking this stock up on CNBC. I'm talking it down on pre-market prep. I think the top is in. I think you got your shot there at $10 yesterday. I think 10.14 is going to be the high now. So unless this comes out with news, I think path least resistance is lower for General Electric. I mean, it's still a cheap stock, so anything can happen. But as long as Inch stays bearish, I'm staying bearish, sticking with that John Inch guy. He seems to know what he's doing.
Okay. All right. Spruce just hit a high at 06, backed off only a buck and a quarter at 04.75. I saw this out of the chat, and then someone said, we haven't talked to Amazon in a long time.
Oh, yeah, so we haven't. Let's do that.
Yeah. The main reason for me is it's just, $1,600 stocks. I mean, they're just, I guess you have the same technicals, the same analysis, but a little bit harder to trade. Nice 2-day move, turn it into a 3-day move, moving into a 4-day move. For me, the big area is 1708. We need to get through that for another leg higher. That's a pair of highs from March 4th and 5th. Dennis, any thoughts, the technicals on Amazon?
It's in consolidation station here, too, between 1600 and 1700. So this has been the better part of 2 months. I think it's consolidating to eventually go higher. So if I'm leaning, I'd love to be a buyer at 1600. 3 days ago, obviously on the pullback day, you could have did that. Now you're getting up to 1,700, so now you're getting at the top of the range again. So, you know, it never usually pays to be buying the top of the range when it's been three or four times up there. So lower 1,600s looks like a buy. Upper 1,700s, it's been a, or 1,600s, it's been a sell. I think eventually it's breaking out, though. I think eventually we're going to look at Amazon. It's going to be up over $1,800 again. It's just a story stock. It's still loved by the market, still loved by institutional money managers. Eventually they're going to come in and buy this thing as long as the market holds up.
We are calling Sean Udall right now. Let's see if he's
on the fly. Let's get Sean Udall's Amazon thoughts. He's usually not on Amazon.
Sean, you are live on Pre-Market Prep. How's it going this morning?
Testing 1, 2.
Yep. We got you.
Test. Sean Udall. What's going on? You always give me good stock picks, Sean. And he tweets them. And he gave me Western Digital. He actually gave me ICPT, too, when I was like $95 and I was on vacation. He sent that to me, and it's up 10% since then. I tell you, man, the Sean Udall knows what he's doing. What's going on?
Hey, I'm just trying to find the next one. I'm just trying to find the next one.
Well, you got
one.
The next
that's
one
all,
for
all
of us here, today?
I was on with Joel last night, and probably my favorite new name, and at least one I can size up and own for a while, is Baidu. I think that we went over last night, but it's just every now and then you get to buy a really good company at really cheap prices, and this is one of those times.
Tell me why. Talk to me about your reasoning behind this call.
Well, I mean, Baidu is the best stock in China, in my view. I think it
over
has been for, oh yeah, I think it has been for a long time. I think you don't really ever have to worry about competition coming in. Here's the bear case. It's simple. It's just not a hot chart. That's the bear case. And so every now and then you just kind of find one of these that for whatever reason it's out of favor. And the last quarter was good. I mean, sometimes I need a trigger. My trigger this time was I was looking at it. I actually bought a little before the print. And I haven't liked Baidu. I mean, well, I've liked Baidu as a company, but I literally haven't owned it for 4.5 years. And I kind of liked it before the report, had a little. After the report, it was ticking around 180 in pre-market. And then, or maybe after hours. And then the next day, Morgan Stanley downgraded it. And it's trading about where it is here. But, the report was good. I think it was ready to go. You got a downgrade. I kind of call these a bottom tick downgrade. So that means if there was ever a time to downgrade the stock and have it be a terribly dumb downgrade, is now. I mean, you could have downgraded any time in the last 2, 3, 4 years at $60, $70, $80 higher prices. That would have been at least a better downgrade. Their downgrade is similar to some of the upgrades that we're still seeing in sort of the hyped up cloud space at this point. So, yeah, we'll just see what happens. But, I mean, from a peer valuation standpoint, you don't find these situations very much.
What kind of valuation is it trading at?
Well, it's trading at 3x net cash plus investments.
Okay.
So that's basically where I was buying Apple in 2013. It was roughly, in fact, Apple was a little cheaper. I think that was about 2.5, 2.7 times net cash back then. You don't get a high quality industry leader, country leader stock at 3x net cash very often.
We got a question in the chat here. CLDR, I know we've talked about that stock with you. I believe they have earnings coming up. Are they still around, CLDR?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Up and down, up and down. Is this one the Cloudera? That's it. I couldn't think of the name of it here. Any thoughts on CLDR?
Yeah, I like it. I'll carry it through the print. I've sold this stock out a couple times, then I bought it back. I think at the most, it seems like around 14 and lower, I tend to buy it back. Hit really, really dynamic lows in November and December. And I mean, it's up nicely off those lows, but I actually think relative to, the kind of the moves we've seen in Okta, Workday, Splunk and stuff like, literally all former things I've had, former longs. I don't really think Cloudera gets its due. Here's the only thing about this quarter. This is the first quarter post merger. So if people are thinking this is going to be a whopper of a quarter, now I'm not saying it can't be, But you guys have been around long enough to some. There are certain times where management will guide conservatively. So, you know, first quarter post merger, I wouldn't be surprised if they guide conservatively. And I'm honestly, I kind of hope they do, because I mean, this is one. You know, there's not many things that I really like that I want to buy a lot more of right now. I'd love it if this got rated, because this is a position I could build up very easily.
All right. BZZT wants to know about the stinker fire eye here. Are you still sticking
That's kind of the app description. It's kind of the stinker. I'm still long, but I haven't added to this name for a long time. So it's too cheap for me to sell. You know, if I ever get to a point where I desperately need the exact amount of money that I'm holding in FireEye for something else, I'll swap it out. But, you know, until I get to a point where I don't have fresh cash or margin buying power to deploy, I don't really have a reason to sell it. At the same time, it doesn't really give me a reason to buy it. But you know, it's a mispriced asset. I mean, you know, the last stock that reminded me of this, Imperva got bought out at buyout prices. That ended up being a pretty good name for me. You know, CyberArk was a stinker. I mean, that stock traded very frustratingly for, I'd say, at least 18 months, if not 2 years. And they, you know, they kept delivering, kept having good reports. That finally broke loose and went huge to the upside. I'm no longer long CyberArk, but I held that for a very, very nice return. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes I just kind of put a stock on the back burner. Where other people get really frustrated on something, it's like, look, there's a thousand pitches you can look at every day. So, you know, and I do things differently than pretty much anybody else. So sometimes I end up doing well on a stock because I just kind of hold it. I don't stress about it. If it's not making me money, I don't have an immediate need to sell it. So sometimes I just keep them, let them go. And, you know, sometimes 6 months, a year later, you end up, oh, geez, look, that's gone up 80%. Maybe I'll sell it now. So the thing I worry about more than if a stock's working is what's the downside. If I thought FireEye had immediate risk or huge quarterly earnings risk of dropping, to $8 after an earnings report, I probably won't be in it. But we've seen it have multiple reports that aren't received that well. Okay, what does it do? It goes down 10%. 3 weeks later, it's back up to where it was. So I don't really worry about the downside of it. So therefore, I don't worry about it.
How about Amazon here? We had someone ask about that in our YouTube chat. Any thoughts on Amazon?
I haven't done anything on it. Well, I mean, I thought it was a raging short, kind of with all the fangs last summer. I mean, they took 500, 600 points out of it, maybe 700 at the low. I mean, at 1325, I kind of tickled around thinking about maybe buying it. But the stuff I bought went up more than Amazon. So I'm not really feeling like I'd short it here. I kind of think the market is appropriately dealing with it, to be honest. I can't remember the last time we were on in the morning, but I said that, you know, former leaders become laggards in the new cycle. Most of the FANG group is basically lagging. Now you could say, wow, they've had these big, big moves off of lows. Well, you know, like cloud stocks have moved, some cloud stocks move 100% off lows. And, you know, most of 5G stocks are up 50 to 60% off lows, and they aren't even producing good reports yet. So, you know, I almost think the FANG, it seems like Mr. Market is kind of treating the FANG stocks appropriately, and they're kind of becoming laggards. They're kind of becoming boring stocks that shouldn't do much, and frankly, that's kind of what they should do.
Okay, let's move on. Maybe keep this analysis maybe like 30 seconds so we can rip through a bunch of them. Let's go with AVYA. Do you follow that one?
Yeah, I do. It's a very cheap stock. I had it, I think, a quarter ago, caught a nice move. I don't have it right now, but yeah, it's a cheap stock. I like it better than a lot of these overvalued, overhyped names.
What's that one do?
Basically, think of old school call center, phone system management, things like that.
This is Avaya.
I'm trying to think of the really hot stock in their space. So suffice to say, there's some stock, I think FIVN might be one of them. So there's a lot of people that believe the call center is going to become automated and AI and go into the cloud. and human beings are going to lose their jobs. If all that happens, Avaya probably is a really good play, to be honest. I'm not sure I'm a big believer that human beings will all be replaced with computers and call centers. We'll see.
I didn't realize Avaya was public. They were a
spin-off. Yeah, they IPO'd it.
They were a spinoff of Lucent, which was a spinoff of AT&T back in the day.
But, yeah, and I think somebody bought them and took them private, and then they re-IPO'd it.
Huh. Today I learned. All right.
Twilio, I know you begged me to buy this one when it was at 40, and I don't think I listened, and now it's 127.20. I know you got rid of it too. Any thoughts on Twilio?
Well, I was really glad I was on it when I was on it, and I can't buy it. I think it's a short, but I'm not short any right now. I mean, put it this way, sometimes it's just better to stay away.
It's hard to short a market that's hot.
Yeah, just, it's like, look, I don't know. Hey, if anybody else wants to buy it, they can do it with their money. I'm not going to buy it with mine.
Okay. Qualcomm update, that's one you've been sticking with.
Yeah, no, same thing. I mean, like, the stock, if there's ever been a stock that's held down because of headline news, this is it. I don't know if people have the headline risk dialed in properly. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. I mean, there was a deal in the Dennis. What was the news that Qualcomm finally, maybe some government officials are starting to see the rationality of their view, meaning that isn't it kind of dumb that we would neuter a leading U.S. 5G innovator right at the cusp of 5G innovation and right at the cusp of competing for global supremacy in this versus China.
If you're playing 5G, you think this is one of the good plays for 5G?
Oh, I think it's the best large cap stock in 5G. You just have to basically be able to ignore, hold through the headline risk. And the headline risk might not be as severe as people think it is. So we'll see. That's certainly though containing it. But, what's their worst case? I mean, the people think that, not spend too much time on it, they're not getting paid a ton of money already. So I think the revenue they're producing right now is probably what the revenue would be if they were getting paid with a really low royalty rate. So I don't know if there's a ton of revenue risk beyond kind of what we have today. So we'll just have to see. I don't know. I've battled a lot of stocks. I mean, I remember loving Google when everybody hated Google, and look where Google is now. I mean, Qualcomm's not like that dissimilar in that it's a super good leading technology company. It's been around for a long time. It's doing things other companies aren't doing. So we'll see.
What about Tesla?
Same kind of deal. The wheels are kind of starting to come off Tesla. Oh, that's kind of turned out to be a pun. I didn't even intend that. The stock isn't acting very well. Some things are coming out. There was a notable analyst that just downgraded it, lowered numbers quite a bit, and stock didn't really move on that. I don't know. We'll see. This thing could the downside in Tesla ultimately could be shocking. So we'll see.
Adobe. Now the chat here.
That's one I am short. I think it's very expensive, old school, old line stock. I'm short Adobe. I'm short IGV. I don't have to make money on it right away because I like hedges against my longs. So, and my longs have done way better than Adobe has done. Since from the time I've shorted Adobe, I don't even know if it's up 2%. And I have many longs that are up 30 to 50 to 100% since I've been short Adobe. So the short's working. The short's working beautifully. I'm not necessarily making money on it, but my longs are sure outperforming it.
From TT Mac here, ADMS. Is that one that's on your radar?
That's a recent long. I actually just bought that. I could eat 50%. I mean, it's possible when I buy biotechs, I basically treat them as leaps. If you're going to trade biotechs and you have a 7% stop, I think you're going to get stopped out of 99% of all of them. So my view is, look, if I'm going to take the risk, I'm willing to eat 35 to 50%, but if I hit it, I'm going to hit it good. you know, I like the report. They had earnings and, you know, they've got an approved drug that's growing very well. The company suspended guidance. I don't necessarily think they suspended guidance because they think sales are going to be bad. They just don't, you know, sometimes companies suspend guidance because the sales are going to be lumpy. That doesn't mean they're bad, but it just, you know, it just makes it hard to forecast exact numbers. So I think most of this downside is just because the company suspended guidance. And again, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. They also have some, a decent pipeline. You know, this is one of the few approvals period in the Parkinson's space, and they have one of them. So, you know, I'm willing to make a bet on it. I mean, I remember, it's funny. I remember people like, I get all these messages and stuff from people, and I remember people telling me to say, hey, look at this Adamas, what a great stock it was at 25 to 30 bucks. I didn't really have any interest. Well, at $7, it's a lot better buy than it was at 25. So that doesn't mean it's going to work, but I like the risk reward now.
What about VICR?
Yeah, I like Vicor. You know, like some, none of these, I'm going to size these up, right? These, none of these are Baidu's or Qualcomm's, but yeah, Vicor is a little chip company. They make power semi solutions. Same thing, been long, down a little bit on it, but, yeah, I like it here. There's no analyst coverage though. It's a weird. So it's one of these stocks out in the cold that you kind of got to do your own work on if you're going to be in Vicor.
All right, man, we're getting a bunch of stocks here. Let's see. Are you short Cisco?
Cisco?
Yeah.
No, but I don't think I'd really buy it here. I will say this. I mean, Cisco, you know, like if you want to think about like a worst case for Qualcomm, might kind of be Cisco. Cisco's done pretty well. They don't. The thing I don't like about Cisco is they're just not much growth, and it hasn't been. I think the last time I liked the stock was probably around 30. I mean, it's done okay from 30, but it's not 30 anymore. So if I like the stock at 30 and it's an old school slow grower, and it's hard for me to buy it at 52. No, I don't think I'd short it though. I don't view Cisco as like an overhyped, overvalued, dangerous stock, although, you know, it's got downside potentially. So Cisco's got a lot of tailwinds though, because they're in a lot of parts of what is going to be 5G investment expansion over the next few years. So you know, of all the very large, in fact, I think you asked me about Ericsson yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like I would probably rather be long Cisco than Ericsson, but I'd rather be long Nokia than Cisco. Well,
I was going to ask you about Nokia. I actually recently added this one to my portfolio. It was a Cramer pick, and he's saying this is a way to play 5G here too. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't like Nokia. It's a Cramer pick, but go on.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not saying we're all jumping all over Cramer picks, but he did a whole segment on Ericsson and Nokia saying these were good ways to play 5G. Stocks have gone nowhere since, but I was just looking from a valuation perspective. They don't seem great. It's trading down here this morning. I don't know what the news is.
I would say as long as Huawei is neutered, I think Nokia has a very good chance of picking up a tremendous amount of business. So, and again, I definitely like Nokia better than I like Ericsson. You know, the thing about Nokia, I mean, it's they have done a lot of the things that companies should have done to kind of re-engineer themselves. They probably haven't gotten much credit for it. They sold off. I mean, they made a brilliant sale of their phone business to Microsoft. Again, that was basically as net zero that they got billions of dollars for. And, you know, they've redeployed the money. They're a legitimate five. I mean, they're really more of a network expansion wireless play all the time anyway. But the 5G build is going to help them. And again, their biggest bully that they've had to deal with forever has been Huawei. And we all know the issue with Huawei, you know, do they really develop their own technology? I'm sure they do some, but they've been a big technology sort of the stealer. And then they undercut pricing tremendously. So, in fact, a very interesting call to listen to. There'd be two of them, would be Adtran and Calm.
Hey, and both Sean? Sean? Yeah. I'm sorry, we're up against the clock here, my man. You are on a roll today.
Listen to Adtran call. They'll give you a lot of info about what's going on with Huawei.
Okay. All right, we've been on the line with Sean Udall. He's the CEO of Quantum Trading Strategies. Joins us to give his technical and fundamental outlook on the market. Sean, thank you so much. Great the way you just pulled these stocks out. Amazing information. We'll be talking to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Sean.
You know, we just get on a roll with some of these guests, and I might say, I'd have to say, you got Nick, who can just, you know, can rip off the charts. Do the chart.
He draws that chart in like 5 seconds.
That's right. Should we have a segment where we have Nick drawing the charts and Sean doing the analysis at the same time?
Because Sean's a fundamentalist.
Yeah. So
those two combined are kind of dangerous.
I'll put a hedge fund right together. There. The Sean-Nick hedge fund, and I'll have Triple D trade it after hours in pre-market. not during the regular session. All right, Spencer, we've ignored you here for a little bit. You still around? You go get some coffee.
No, I'm still here. I'm looking at some of the biggest ratings of the morning.
Let's do it.
We had talked about Hercules Capital already, but aside from that, biggest rating I'm seeing this morning is a couple downgrades to Roku. Loop Capital and Macquarie both downgrading Roku this morning. Loop's price target is, I believe, $44 or $45. $45 there on Roku. I haven't seen the note. I would hope. I can only guess what it says. I would hope it's not a reaction to the reports yesterday of what Apple will be discussing at their Apple News event the 25th, because those reports have been rumored for a couple months now. But I don't know the reason for the downgrade. Maybe it's a valuation call. Can't say. But Roku, nonetheless, two downgrades today, Macquarie and a Loop.
Yeah, $45 price target for Loop. So they see significant downside here. I mean, this stock has had an incredible 2019. I don't know if there's really been a better performer. It started the year around $30. Obviously, yesterday got up over 70. So you're talking about a stock that's up over 100% 2.5 months. When you're chasing stocks, eventually, you know, they start to cave. I don't know if we topped out there back on March 11, 2 days ago, when we got to 74.35. But, you know, hindsight's 2020, and we're 7 points off that high now. So yeah. I think it's fairly safe for now. And the thing is, there's so many people who are up a lot in this. I mean, if you start to get nervous, you get one institutional money manager starts to get nervous and they've got this, you know, it could put some more pressure on the stock. So I think rallies to be sold here now on Roku, at least until you take out the new high. So I kind of like it short, leaning on the 74.35 high. I wouldn't want to see it start making new highs if I was short.
And I just give the flip side here, all the people that have been shorting this thing. Underwater here, and now you finally get a little break, down $3. I think this one is pretty, I'll just give a simple setup in this one. 67.27, that is your pre-market low, so it's some just hanging above that. So they rip through that to get it going to the downside here. Then there's certainly a lot of room underneath. You can pick out your daily lows here. Boom, boom, boom. 64.63 would be my next stopping point. That was a low from March 4th and February 27th. But, you know, if you have some people that just, like, laid out that short in the last 2 days and they were only looking for 4 or 5 points, you know, there's an opportunity here for them. We'll see you first and foremost if we could take out the pre-market low.
Just quickly, just jumping through the other ratings here. So we got an interesting one that I just want to mention was CVS. We are getting Bernstein coming out, and they're giving it a buy rating, initiating with a buy. They gave a price target on this one, $76. So this is another vote of confidence. Yesterday, we had, you know, some of the executives, I believe it was the CFO, bought some stock, and the stock was trading slightly higher. Now you get an analyst coming out and defending it. So this could kickstart a little bit. It needed some defense. It's trading up. I'm not surprised it's trading up. Other things being equal, you never think, you know, Bernstein initiation is going to move it up 1.6%. But this thing wanted some love. And it got some love finally from an analyst yesterday, so I'm not surprised. I would not be fading this for the simple reason that it was down for so long. You know, this could be at 60 and it could still be in a downtrend here. So, I mean, it just got oversold. So a natural correction here. Bernstein helping it out here this morning. I don't know if I'm necessarily buying it up 90 cents, but if you pull back like lower 55s, you know, sometimes you see these things, you know, rip up, then they pull back. I don't mind it as a day trade right now.
You know what, Dan? I wish we could do some historical data on our chat, because they've just been asking about this one,
Finally got some love.
Yeah, looking for a bottom, and you had it was a triple bottom. Should have looked at it. I mean, when it was 52.17, you had no idea. Then it goes 51.93, yeah, and then 52.31. So there's your hard stop here, even if you're buying at $56, under $52. Also on a pullback here, a lot of shorts sitting on a lot of money from just was at $66. Now the shorts, now they're just not going to be able to throw those bids out there and be patient, get hit. They may have to, they may have to buy into a rallying market, which is a little bit harder. Before we wrap things up, before I let Spencer wrap things up, S&Ps are pulling off the high, not by much though. 2806, that was your pre-market high as we stand. Trading in the vicinity of yesterday's high. Boy, good support. If we could get down to that close of 97.25, I think you'd find pretty good support there, because it's also mid-range on the session. For those of you joining us late today, at the beginning of the show, I announced that my buddy Jeremy Newsom are going to be doing a kids education event next week, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. That will be Eastern Standard Time. So if you have third, seventh graders, have them get in there, learn about Wall Street and math and magic, so you will not have to pay for them to get into college. Spencer, you want to wrap things up?
Yep, sure. One more rating that crossed my eye this morning was Goldman Sachs upgrading Carnival CCL to buy. And I believe they've been neutral on that one for like 3 years now. So Goldman upgrades from Carnival this morning. But that is going to do it for our show today. Thanks to Sean Udall for joining us for 20 minutes of his time. Thanks to everyone in our chat, both on YouTube and premarket.benzinga.com. We appreciate your participation. As always, please remember all the information from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. Thanks to everyone again. Hope you have a good rest of your day, and we'll see you on Thursday.